All right, good evening, everybody. Check, check, check. Thank you, Mr. Soundman. Good to see everybody. Hope everybody's been doing good. And all kind of grouping together. Kind of a cool night, isn't it? No, cool's not the word. It's freezing. It's freezing, and it's been freezing this week. And oh, me. Well, it is winter time, so, you know, I guess that's the reason why it's freezing. The winter time, and it's good to see everybody. Good to have our visitors with us tonight there in the back, and welcome to Calvary Baptist Church. And we're going to jump right into things this evening. Hope everybody again has been having a good week this week. I had mentioned, I'm sorry, I want to say maybe toddler age and up. What's the class age Christy teaches? I can tell you this. I can tell you this. They're about this age. It slips my mind. I'm sorry. You know, 10-ish, 11-ish, little under, little above. And then we have the teenage class, of course. Yeah, that's the right age right there. There you go. Awesome. Awesome. All right. Just need to take a moment to get everybody squared away. That's always a good situation to have. And I list on our Facebook Live page every Wednesday. We've got classes for all ages, and we pretty much do. And so that's a blessing. Again, you know, welcome tonight. And good to see everybody. All right. I want to bring you up to date on some of our people that's not doing well or that is recovering. I want to start with Brother Leonard Palmer. And I mentioned Sunday that his foot surgery was yesterday, but in actuality, it was last Wednesday. And so Miss Dolores had told me, having a lot going on and everything, she gave me a wrong date, but he is doing good on that. And so praise the Lord for Brother Leonard, his foot surgery. But let's remember them together, getting as they get better with from COVID. Larry Bennett went back for his follow-up, and I can't remember how many lymph nodes they removed, but it was in the 20s, I want to say, the teens, high 20s, high teens, early 20s, around in there. There were some that was cancerous, but the doctor feels good that those were removed. And so that would be our prayer, is that they were removed. And so appreciate your prayers on that. I know Brother Larry does. And then, of course, Brother Don, I believe you went today. Is that right? And any new news? Or? All right. Well, let's continue to remember this investigation. And I say that with a little humor. I guess you got to have some when you're going through what he's going through, trying to find answers. But remember this, final test next Wednesday. And so remember that. Remember Brother Harold Dolph. Of course, he took a fall. He was here last Sunday. He was here morning and night, I think. So that was good. But he did have a fall, and he has been to some appointments with some other things. And so let's remember Brother Harold. Miss Claudia, continue to remember her. Any more news on Miss Claudia? Miss Marianne.
She's doing okay. She actually came out and played games with us yesterday. But her granddaughter has tonsils. I'm not sure. I think it's her tonsils. And they can't remove them.
Really?
She came home from school today and she
So great-grandchildren and herself. Okay.
So it's the mother of them.
Yes. Okay. Anyone else? Let me mention a couple more things. I'll open up the floor in just a minute. Went to visit my grandfather yesterday, and he's doing good. He's in good spirits. He's always handled things well. He's always had a good sense of humor. Actually, I walked in and he was watching Price is Right, and the setting was perfect. You know, it was kind of dim and a little bit of light coming through, just comfortable. Everybody has their own opinion about Cobb, but I will say that my opinion, and going the other day, it was a good opinion. It looks like they're really doing a good job over there. And so, but he's going to stay there. He's getting ready to go to rehab therapy. Something amazing I'll share with you. So they did the surgery, but then they wanted to make sure he had circulation in his foot, because if not, then you know what would have happened then. But they actually engrafted in an artificial artery that made some kind of really small tubing. And because of that, he was able to keep his foot. And so that was wonderful. He's in no pain. If he is, he says he presses a button. And so, you know, what more can you ask for? Went by and seen my grandmother just after that. She's doing good. And so the Lord's been blessing with that. Just continue to remember his therapy, because that's when it's going to get painful, I'm sure. Also, my dad, things have changed a little bit. Now he's not talking at all, no whispering, nothing. He's barely able to eat anything, food or drink any water. That's how it has been, but it's even less now. The nurse says that his eyes are closed, but whenever you talk to him, he opens his eyes. Just continue to remember him, if you would. I'll know in a few days or a week if he's in organ failure or not, they said. And so that's about where we're at on that. But appreciate your prayers on Dad. Remember Miss Glenda, she continues to get better. Also, she has a special prayer request. I'm going to try to get this right, Brother David. This is the Jackson family, a lady that she used to work with, her mother. The lady she used to work with, I believe her mother's name is Loretta, and it's her mother that needs prayer tonight. And not doing well, just needs our prayers, and so let's lift her up in prayer tonight. But we'll open up the floor. Maybe someone has something I didn't share, or an update of praise. Hassan? Remember Hassan's two uncles. We sure will. Pray they get well soon. Anyone else? Ms. Carl? Remember this. Tracy, let's remember his request tonight. Shelon? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Excellent. Praise the Lord. Amen. God answers prayer. What a blessing. Anyone else? Yes, in the back. Okay. bless. We sure will. God bless. Anyone else? Cassie. Let's remember this. Anyone else? All right. Well, if you would just remember the visitation team, we're going out in the morning, and we're going to go knock on some doors, and then I believe we're going to try to go visit Brother Fletcher Denton, the one who came for a while, who joined. But I believe he's dealing with some dementia issues and had to move, relocate. And so we're going to do that tomorrow. So remember us then. And also remember this coming up Saturday for choir members at 11 o'clock at Eastwood Baptist over off Allgood Road, Marietta. I'm not sure if we're going to have a van to take everybody. Brother Allen had mentioned something to Brian. And I'm going to check on that tomorrow. And if that's so, I'll get word out to the choir members. And, I mean, you know, those who may want to ride along for the evening service. Well, I'm sorry. That's on Sunday night. But Saturday, choir members, we'll get word to the choir members if that transportation will be there for Saturday morning. And maybe even work something out for Sunday night as well for whoever wants to ride over. That's really a great idea. So remember that. Again, Sunday night, 5 p.m. over Eastwood. It's going to be a great service. Four choirs. And I think it's four churches. Four churches together. And I don't know if, you know, some of you have been to Eastwood or not. It's not a big church. But it's going to be amazing all gathered together singing. I'm looking forward to it. And so remember that. And then also remember the 28th, the last Sunday night of this month. We're going to have our last Sunday night fellowship. It's the Chili fundraiser. As I said, Sunday, we already had one donor for $450. And also, I've had a couple of people inquire this week about the list and what they could give. And so things are moving, coming together. Looking forward to that. We're trying to do a lot of things at one time, trying to outreach, trying to upgrade, and ask for God's blessing upon it all. And so I believe He's going to bless it. I really do. Anything else before we pray? All right. Everybody looks like ready to go forward in the service tonight, so let's do that. We'll have a time of prayer together. If you want to come down and pray, you can. You can sit there and pray. A time of silent prayer. Then Brother Jeff is going to have a song for us. And then we'll bring the lesson for tonight. We'll talk about it. I'll be in touch with you. Before we turn to our starting verse tonight, a little blessing. I want to share with you. I was at the hospital visiting my grandfather. His nurse came in, and he invited her to church. And for me to witness that from him is amazing. You know, you don't have to look far to see how God is working, you know. Just by him being in church is amazing, and now him inviting people to church is really amazing. And then he spent like the next 10 minutes trying to describe in his own words where the church was at, and red lights, and stop signs. It was just, I just let him have it. I let him at it, and it was so nice to see that, and heartwarming. And, of course, he told the nurse who I was, and being the pastor here, and she asked for prayer right there on the spot. And so we prayed for her, prayed for my grandfather, just had a good time of prayer, sweet hour, sweet moment of prayer. And God's working in a lot of things at one time, little things, big things, just amazing to see him working. Also remember, if you would, I know we're past the prayer request time, but this is Wednesday night prayer meeting all the way through. Barbara and Ben Davis, hadn't seen them in a while, friends of mine that would sit on the second row there, and his mom's still getting better. I know Ben's looking for a job, but please remember them. And again, you know, those on our prayer list that I failed to mention tonight, our regulars on there, if I could say it that way, just our shut-ins, everyone else on the bulletin, and remember our young people downstairs tonight, and just our safety as we have church together. All right, is everybody ready for Bible drill tonight? Yes. Bible drill. It's going to be another Bible drill night tonight. And Lord, give me some direction on at least the next three Wednesday nights. And saying that, if you would, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 tonight. If you want to read, would you raise your hand? Okay, got it. Got it locked in. Locked in for now. I may forget in a few seconds, but anyway, if I call on you and you didn't raise your hand, just shake your head no, that's fine. But I think I see everybody who raised their hand. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 will be our starting point in just a moment. But I do want to introduce what we're going to talk about. And again, the Lord willing. It may change next Wednesday and the following. I don't know. But as of now, this is what I feel. But over the next 3 weeks, three Wednesday nights, I want to go in a certain direction. As we began last Sunday morning, of course, we talked about a heart for the King. But laced in that was talking about sharing Jesus. And, of course, Sunday night was about sharing Jesus. And so I'm kind of been in this vein with sharing the Lord with others and seeing the importance of that. And so saying that, been talking about sharing Jesus, saying that, I feel like we should begin looking at some Bible doctrines. And the Bible doctrines that we're going to look at, I feel like, of course, all Bible doctrine will help, but looking at some Bible doctrines, since we've been talking about witnessing, I believe this will help us with our witnessing and sharing Jesus, especially when we start on visitation, talking to people about the Lord. You've heard the statement before, and it's a very true statement. I've said it. Knowing what we believe is great. We've got to know what we believe, but knowing why we believe what we believe is even better. Because we are in a spiritual warfare, the devil is sowing false doctrine out there, and we are to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto us. We are to engage in battle. And we are to, if you would, refute false doctrine with the Word of God. And so, more specifically, when it comes to Bible doctrine and what I want to share concerning the doctrines of the Bible, I want to look at the doctrine of the Bible. The doctrine of the Bible. The Bible is being attacked. There's so much said about the Bible. And so I want to look at some things concerning the doctrine or the teachings or the truths about the Bible. This isn't going to be an exhaustive series or an exhaustive look at the doctrine of the Bible. This is just going to be a surface view look. And again, a short series if we complete it in 3 weeks. But saying that, again, I want to look at three things, the Lord willing, on three separate weeks. And so these are actually three words I want to look at that are doctrines about the Bible. Number one, there's the word revelation. Revelation. This is how God spoke to man. How God spoke to man and the various methods by which he did so. All right, this is God speaking to man. There's the word revelation and the doctrine of revelation when it comes to the Word of God. And then there's the word inspiration. While revelation is God speaking to man, inspiration is man being inspired by God by what he spoke to write it down. Inspiration. And then there's the third one, the third word, and that is illumination. Illumination. This is man receiving light of what was written down. Man being able to understand that which God spoke to man and man wrote down, and now is for us to understand. And there is illumination. Tonight, you can understand the Bible. You can and I can. And we're going to get more into that in just a moment. We know there's restrictions on that and several things. But again, three doctrines about the Bible. There's many more doctrines about the Bible out there. But I just feel like that these three things can at least help us a little bit when we're engaged in conversations, knowing, you know, where we got these words from and who gave them and who wrote them down and how we can understand the Bible. And so that'll be a great help, I'm sure, to all of us. And so tonight I want to actually work in reverse, if I could. Typically, it's look at the revelation, how God gives the word to man, and then it's to look at the inspiration, man writing it down as God gives it, and then illumination, man receiving light to understand it. Tonight I want to start with illumination. I want to start with that word, illumination. This is going to be classroom style, as I said before. But not only is preaching needed, but teaching is needed in the local church. And so the word tonight is illumination. I want to talk about the word illumination. I want to talk about the what of illumination, meaning what we must do with the Word of God in order to receive illumination. I want to talk about the who of illumination. Trying to be careful not to say elimination. And that is the who. Who will God illuminate to? There's the how of illumination. How should we study God's Word to receive illumination? And the reason for illumination. Saying all this, I doubt there seriously we'll get through it all tonight. But at least we can get started. And I hope I can keep your attention tonight. Number one, when it comes to illumination, if I haven't told you where to turn, I think I did, but 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 is what we're going to read in just a moment, and verse number 14. First, I want to say about the word illumination. What is it? What is illumination? Illumination is the work of the Holy Spirit in revealing the Word of God to the human heart. Now, Dr. Wilmington said this. He said, and he describes illumination this way, man receives the light of that which God has written. So illumination is the work of the Holy Spirit in revealing the Word of God to the human heart. And so as we read and study the Word, God reveals spiritual truth to our heart. And so illumination is from words written on paper to the human heart. And let me just say this. If we jump into the Word and quick flip the pages, read a couple verses, and go about our day, I doubt very seriously we'll experience illumination. Illumination calls for another T-I-O-N word, meditation. When we get into, now reading God's word is us getting into God's word. But when we meditate, that's when God's word gets into us. And that's when the good stuff happens. That's when we experience illumination. That's when we're able to properly give the context of a verse and properly tell about a particular verse. And so we have to experience illumination, but illumination comes through meditation. All right, now, 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, that's the word illumination, but under that same point, talking about the word illumination, let me say this about illumination. Without illumination, no one could ever be saved. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, listen to this. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So here he's talking about the natural man, and we can look at this as in one way. We all have a natural man, and that natural man understands not the things of God. And so there's the lost man who also has a natural man, and he definitely can't understand the things of God. I like looking at it this way. He says, but the natural man, or the lost man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. That word receiveth, I like that word because I think of a receiver. I said this before in here. I'll say it again. So in this room right now, there are all kinds of things taking place. There are happy moments taking place. There are bad moments taking place. There is violence taking place in here right now. There's cooking taking place in here right now. There's murdering taking place in here right now. You say, how in the world do you get that? It's all in the airways. You got to have a receiver to pick up on it, like in a television set or cell phone. And you see, the natural man, the lost man, doesn't have the Spirit of God to receive the things of God. And so a lost man tries to get into the Bible and tries to understand the Bible, and he can't do that because he don't have no receiver. The natural man, even us as Christians, yes, we have the Spirit of God, but the natural man, we have to, like I said, meditate, because the natural man cannot understand. We have to dive in. We have to rely on the Holy Spirit. Those who are saved has a receiver. We can understand the things of God, but the natural man cannot, because he doesn't have a receiver to pull it in. And so without illumination, no one could ever be saved. No one could ever be saved if the Holy Ghost didn't convict the heart and reveal to the sinner their need of salvation. And so we see that there, and we explain what the word illumination means. Again, illumination is the work of the Holy Spirit in revealing the Word of God to the human heart. Also, another definition of the word illumination just means light. Or it means lighting. It's through the idea of looking out at night and seeing the stars shine. Or looking at any kind of landscape and lighting. Or any kind of light at night that shines. That is illuminating. And so God's word tonight can illuminate to us those who are saved. All right. And then let me say this. Without illumination, no saint would ever understand the scriptures. We just said that, made reference to it. Let's see. Let me move my marker here. Brother Jeff, would you read the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 9. Read verse number 9, if you would, down through verse number 13, if you would.
Things of God. For what man can know the things
And of course, we read verse number 14. I'll read verse 15 and 16. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So further verses is saying that without the Holy Spirit and without guidance, there can be no illumination. And it is the Word of God that gives light to the human mind. Ms. Sharon, if you would, read Psalm 119, 105. Very familiar verse there. And Mary and Sammy, did you have a hand up? Mary and Sammy? All right. Lee Ellen, would you read Psalm 119, 130. All right. And so the Word of God there gives light to the human mind, to the heart. And so we can know through the Word of God, we can know the Word of God, we can have direction. The Word of God gives light, gives light. Thy Word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. All right, Miss Lee Ellen. Thank God for that. Gives light, gives understanding to the simple, to the simple. And any way you dice it, tonight I'm a simple man, and thank God for illumination and the guidance of the Holy Spirit that illuminates His Word. The Word of God tonight gives light to the human mind, and we see that there in those two verses. All right. There are gifted men, moving on a little bit, changing gears. There are gifted men to whom God has given great insight into the Scriptures. They have been given the gift of knowledge. Of course, we're changing gears again, as I said, just a little bit here. I'll give you this one in 1 Corinthians 12. You can jot it down or follow along. But 1 Corinthians 12, in verse number 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Now illumination is for all of us, but there are some who it seems like really understand above and beyond the average Christian the Word of God. These men themselves, again, some have the gift of knowledge. Of course, God uses many to teach believers in the Word, in the church. We know by Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 11, God gave some preachers, pastors, and teachers, etc. But at the end of the day, there is this gift of knowledge who God just endows with some to understand the Scriptures more so than others. Now, these same men stand up and teach and preach in church and even teach Sunday school. I want to say this, that's why it's so important to come to church. Because God has called men into positions to teach the Word of God, and they have an edge on the Word of God. They have different viewpoints, of course, coming from the same Bible, meaning the same thing, but just God has endowed others with certain gifts that you can benefit from, I could benefit from. That's why it's so important to come to church. Just one reason. Church attendance is very important. As we hear teaching and preaching, the Holy Spirit can speak to our minds and hearts and teach us more about God and His Word. And so God uses the aid of men to perform the task of illumination. Let's see. Brother Don Rich, would you read Romans chapter number 10, verse 14? And let's see. Miss Carla, would you read Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8? Brother Don Rich, Romans 10, verse number 14. When you get a second. So we see there that God uses preachers to stand and preach God's Word, to illuminate God's Word to our understanding. And Ms. Carla, whenever you get there, Nehemiah 8:8. Okay, take your time. And we'll change gears in just a minute after Ms. Carla reads this verse. 8:8. There you go. The reading of God's word distinctly emphasize, expound on. And again, it says, so they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense. That's the key, is giving the sense, the understanding. And I'm glad that the Lord can give us, through the Holy Spirit, illumination. He can give the sense to us as individuals, but also He uses teachers and preachers and so forth. Now, God can use other means as well. Now, this isn't the Bible, but we're talking about what I'm about to mention, but these are other good sources, not comparable to the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God, the infallible truths, but God uses other sound books and commentaries and other means of study to help. The other men of God have studied, or it's a reflection of their study, their thoughts and ideas concerning what they've learned. God uses good sound books and commentaries. Of course, these are not inspired like the inspired Word of God is inspired. These men are fallible. Of course, the men who God used to write the Bible are also fallible. Not infallible, but fallible. And we'll get into that another time. But there's other good resources. Stay in the Bible, but also there's other good resources to use that God uses to help with illumination. And so we see that there. But then, so our first point was the meaning, or more specifically, the word illumination. Now, number two, we said the what. What we must do with the Word of God in order to receive illumination. Now, I want to make sense out of this. I'm not trying for it to be confusing. I'm trying to be simple and take my time. What we must do with the Word of God in order to receive illumination. Number one, we must search it. We must search it. All right? Who hasn't read yet that wants to read? Did I call on everybody? I'll start over again. Brother Jeff, would you read, if you would, Acts chapter number 17, verse number 11. Acts 17, verse number 11. Too many pages to mark, so I don't even try to mark them. Too many pages. Acts 17, verse 11. We're going to look at a verse that talks about searching the Scriptures. This is how illumination occurs. Acts 17, verse 11. They searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. What we see here, that word search, I like that word search. He says that they searched. That word search, you ready for this? It means an investigation and to interrogate. I don't know about you or not, but I love investigation shows. Probably too much. I watch them so much, sometimes I look over my shoulder and check the door and the blinds, make sure I'm okay. Okay, I like 2020. I like Dateline NBC. I like First 48. I mean, I like Another 48 Hours. I like all that stuff. And what you see is an intense investigation and interrogation. And so if a detective engages in an investigation, he is tracing every lead. That's one way to look at it when you study. You're in an investigation. You got to trace every lead and diligently look for evidence. If a suspect is interrogated, it is to obtain information from him. And so tonight, in like manner, believers must search the Scriptures. That's how we experience illumination. They must investigate. We must investigate and interrogate the Bible, so to speak. This involves more, like I said a moment ago, more than casual reading, but deep study and research. Christians will only go so far in their spiritual growth. You know that, and I know that. If all they do is read their Bible. Again, it's meditation. It's not just reading or getting into God's Word. It's God's Word getting into us. And so we must dig deep into God's Word. And I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, teaching to the choir. But at the same time, we all could benefit from this. We must search, we must study, we must seek, we must investigate the Scriptures. So I like that verse there in Acts 17. Miss Sharon, 2 Timothy 2:15, if you would. 2 Timothy 2:15. Oh, we were to search, but then we're to study. Go ahead.
Studying to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Okay, what we must do with the word of God in order to receive illumination, we're to search it and we're to study it. Kind of the same thing, but different meaning here in this particular verse. The word study here, study, it means to make effort. It means to use speed, to make effort, be prompt or earnest, give diligence or be diligent, to endeavor, labor, study. Studying God's Word is a laborsome thing. You can't rush it. You can't make it happen. In other words, trying. When you get stuck on a place, I know I do, sometimes I get frustrated. Because I want to understand it, and I want to understand it right now. And I spend sometimes hours trying to understand something. I walk away from it. I come back to it, and I get frustrated. And that's many times how I know it's time to walk away and take a break. And a lot of times when I walk away and take a break, it comes to me. It's amazing. But it's all about the effort. It's the effort. Study, make effort to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, and so the Christian must be sincere and diligent in his or her study of God's word. And then the words here, or the word rightly, or the words rightly dividing, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing. That means to cut it straight, or cutting it straight. It means to study the Word so that we can properly interpret the Word. It's not just reading a verse, but it's reading the verse before that verse. It's reading the verse after that verse. It's reading the chapter. It's understanding the book and the theme of it so that we can make a straight cut accurately. And so, Paul, being the writer of the book of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, he knew a little bit about cutting, didn't he? Paul was a tent maker. And so Paul knew everything there was to know about making cuts, cutting that animal skin and making those straight cuts so that he can wrap around whatever it was that he was building, the tents. I was going to say teepee, probably a teepee, something along those lines, huts, something like that. But he had to do a lot of cutting and making. He had to make the right kind of cuts. There's some in here who work with wood, Brother Don Nettles and Brother David in the back. I don't know if anybody else works with wood in here, but making a straight cut is everything. Because if it's a little too short, the end product won't be right. If it's too long, wouldn't look right. And everything has to be fitly framed together. And so making that straight cut. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly cutting the word of God, rightly dividing the word of God. So tonight, if believers have sound Bible doctrine, they must correctly interpret the Scriptures. They must cut it straight. Let me hurry up through some of these. What we must do with the word of God in order to receive illumination: search it, study it. What about this? Desire it. 1 Peter 2:2, Brother Don Rich, if you don't mind, when you get there. And then Miss Carla, Psalms 1, verse number 2. Psalms chapter number 1, verse 2. Brother Don Rich, 1 Peter 2:2. But what Brother Don's about to read is we're to desire it. Miss Carla, what she's going to read, we're to meditate upon it.
Brother Don. Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babe, desire sincerely after the word, that you may grow thereby.
And so Peter's talking about desire, and that should be a natural desire for a born-again Christian. As a baby comes out, what do they want? They want it. They want to eat. They want the milk. And then they eventually graduate to meat. But the desire is there. The need is there. Same thing for a Christian. We ought to, it ought to come naturally as a Christian, but we definitely need to desire and make place for the reading of God's Word. And when we do, we will experience illumination. Miss Carla is going to talk about meditation, reading a verse on meditation. Psalm 1 and verse number 2. There you have it. Meditate day and night. Now, does that mean that we're to find a little quiet place and stay there 24 hours a day? No, but if there's opportunity, it'd be great. But I think, in my estimation, I think we're to just keep God's Word in our minds and meditate it throughout the day. And that's what I do. Sometimes I just grab a word or a verse, and through my mind through the day, I meditate. I go through it. How does it, what's the connection with it in the verse, in the chapter, in the book? What's some possible ways that God is speaking to me? Could this be a sermon? Could this be a lesson? Meditate. Meditate upon God's Word. You will experience illumination. And then we're to accept it. We're to accept it. We must accept the Bible as the very Word of God and believe it for what it says. That's in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For the sake of time, we won't turn there, but you can jot it down. Accept the Word of God in order to experience the illumination of the Word of God. All right. We are to memorize it. Memorize it. Let me turn. I'll read this verse over in Psalm 119. Listen to this. This isn't called Bible drill for nothing. Psalm 119:11. Listen to what this says. Psalm 119:11. Speaking of memorizing it. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. How are you going to hide the word if you don't know the word? So you memorize it and you allow it to become memory. And then that way, when you're away from your Bible, it's in your mind and your heart, and you can reflect upon it. So memorize it. Mark chapter 4, verse number 9 says, listen to it. That's how you experience illumination, by listening to it. What about this one? I like this one. Experience illumination by singing it. Singing it. A great part of Old and New Testament worship had to do with singing God's Word. Singing God's Word. The Psalms were written to be sung in the worship of the Lord. The word psalm comes from a Greek word that means a poem sung to musical accompaniment. Let me read you this right quick in Ephesians chapter number 5. Listen to this, speaking of singing scripture and also experiencing illumination. Ephesians 5 and verse number 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So we're to sing the scriptures, and certainly by singing the scriptures, we are reciting the scriptures, memorizing the scriptures, and then you will experience illumination. Have you ever just been singing a hymn or singing a psalm or just some scripture? You're just in a time of singing, whether audibly or in your mind, and then all of a sudden the light goes off. You're like, oh wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. Singing. You sing it. That's how you experience illumination. This is what you do. Psalm 119:18, you can go back and read it later, talks about praying for insight. Praying for insight. In the book of Job, chapter number 23, in verse number 2, talks about honoring it. Honoring the Word of God to experience illumination. Job said he esteemed the Word of God more than necessary food. And so God said He magnifies His Word above His name. Psalm 138, verse number 2. That's putting great importance upon the Bible. So therefore, we must honor the Word of God above all. Honor the Word of God. Love the Word of God. Psalm 119:97. When we love God's Word, we will experience God's Word in the illumination thereof. Obeying God's Word, you'll experience illumination. 1 John chapter number 2, in verse number 5, John says, "But whoso keepeth his word," talks about keeping the Word of God, which means the word keepeth means to guard or keep the eye upon. And of course, that's, as I said, in 1 John chapter number 2, let me turn there just briefly. 1 John chapter number 2, in verse number 5, he says this, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." And so keeping his word, obedience will bring illumination. Again, the word keepeth means to guard, keep the eye upon. None of us keep God's word in the sense perfectly without sin, living up to it fully. But we can keep it in our minds. We can guard it. Let it be the guard of our minds. And so if we love the Lord, we will keep his commandments. James says we are to be doers of the word in James 1:22. Saul disobeyed the word of the Lord, as we said Sunday morning, and was rejected from being king of Israel. Over there in 1 Samuel 15:22 and 23, he talked about and said that obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, somebody could give a sacrifice to the Lord. They could throw some money in the plate and go back out of church and live the way they want to. That don't mean nothing. Obedience, doing what God says, is way more important and valuable than any kind of sacrifice we could give. And so we see that there. And we're flying through some of these verses now. Obey it. It's one way that we can keep or experience illumination. Again, we experience illumination through the preaching of the Word. 2 Timothy 4:2. God calls certain men to preach His Word, but every Christian should be a witness for the Lord, and we experience illumination through preaching. Again, our second point, we're talking about the what we must do with the Word of God in order to receive illumination. Jude 3 says we are to fight for it, fight for the Word. He talks about earnestly contending for the faith. And the words earnestly contend means to struggle for or to agonize. And so we are to struggle for or agonize for the Scriptures or over the Scriptures. We are to do that. Earnestly contend for the faith. It means we must strive for and defend the truth and fight for the vital and necessary doctrines of the Bible. And while doing so, we experience illumination. We're to treasure the Word of God. Psalm 19, verse number 9 and 10 talks about treasuring God's Word. The Word of the Lord is more precious than fine gold. We should treasure our Bible, realize the worth and value of the Word of God. It's almost like at this point we're to take a bathroom break and come back, you know. I know it's a whole lot, but that's the what of illumination, what we're to do. Again, we're to search it, study it, desire it, meditate upon it, accept it, memorize it, listen to it, sing it, pray for insight, honor it, love it, obey it, preach it, fight for it, treasure it. The what of experiencing the illumination of God's Word, what we're to do. Let me mention at least one more tonight. That is the what we're to do to experience illumination. But what about the who? And we've kind of mentioned this, but it's a little different. Who will God illuminate to? Who will God speak to? Who will God illuminate His Scriptures to? What person is it that God reveals His wonderful truths to? Now, I want to mention briefly tonight some conditions that must exist in our lives in order to experience illumination. Number one, we must be holy. Practically. Number one, positionally holy, which we're made holy by Jesus' righteousness, but we must practice holiness. We must be holy. Listen to this. And this is coming from James 1:21. James says, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word. This means we are to lay aside all sin and evil and receive the word of God. And so there are prerequisites in experiencing the word of God into our hearts and illumination. Peter tells us that if we desire the word, we must first lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2. Somebody that has bitterness and resentment, that's quarreling with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they say they got a word from God, that's not so. That's not so. What is in the heart at that moment is hindering God's word. You know the story, the parable of the four grounds. Some landed on the thorns, some landed on stony places, and so forth and so on. Well, and then some landed on good ground. So we got to make sure that there's good ground for the word of God to go into and to prosper. God is holy, and we must practice holiness. We must be holy as a condition. This is the who God will illuminate to. We must be prayerful. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. So there's a prayer there. Open thou my eyes. Let us pray for God to speak to us. We must pray for insight and understanding of God's word. God can and will reveal to our hearts wonderful truths from his word if we pray and seek his word. All right, let me give you this one. Then we must be filled with the Spirit in order to receive God's word or his illuminated word or for God to speak to us. The Holy Ghost is our divine teacher who will guide us into all truth. John 16, verse number 13 through 15 talks about that, how the Spirit of God will guide us. But more specifically, I want to read these verses to us as we get ready to close in just a moment. 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 20. Listen to this. I love this because it says that those that are saved have been smeared. Did you know if you're saved tonight, you've been smeared? 1 John chapter number 2 verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Of course, you get into here and start reading. Let's see, down in verse number 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And so he talks about there that word unction. Unction, but ye have an unction from the Holy One. It means to be smeared. It means to be smeared. The Holy Spirit has smeared our hearts with his love and with his hands. And because of that, we have an unction. Because of that, we have been anointed. You know, you've been anointed tonight by the Holy Spirit through salvation, by salvation. You have the potential of hearing from God tonight. That's amazing to me. Of course, he says no man needs to teach you. That don't mean you don't sit under a teacher. It just means that the Lord himself can speak to you. Sunday morning, part of my message, I said that. I was giving thanks to God about Brother Berman and other mentors in my life. But at the same time, if there was never any mentors, God himself could teach me and has taught me. Speaking about how God had raised up David to be king. God is in the children raising business. He uses teachers, of course. He uses mentors. But ye have the anointing, verse 27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. All right, well, I believe that's going to be enough for one night, for tonight at least, Wednesday night. And we're going to leave off right there on the, what was it? The who. Who God will illuminate to. The conditions. We must be holy. We must be prayerful. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Lord willing, on next Wednesday, we'll get into the how. How should we study God's Word? And then, of course, the reason for illumination. And then we may tippy-toe into either inspiration or revelation. Or God may move in a whole other direction. We may do something different. But that's what I have for you tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you. I know it's a lot, God.